Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Transparency Card Podcast. My name is Crystal, the creator and host of this lovely podcast, and I am so excited to have you guys back for another episode. Thank you so much to whoever is tuning in. I recently took a look at the analytics for the podcast, and I won't lie, it's a little bit of a lower number than before, but I feel really excited about it because I feel like my audience has evolved and is changing the same way that I am. And that's obviously being reflected in my podcast and my art in general. And so I feel like I'm doing something right when I see actually smaller numbers, because it means that my content is attracting a select group of people, which is probably the people that I want to be attracting. Whereas before, I feel like I did content or created episodes on topics that were geared more towards like the general viewer. Like, I kind of wanted everyone to be able to listen to my podcast and relate to it. And while that is something that I still care about and I still want, I now realize that the journey that I'm on is oh so personal, and that's what I'm documenting here. And my cup of tea is not necessarily going to be the next person's. So now I'm less concerned about how many people like and review this podcast and how many people relate to what I'm saying. And I'm more focused on sharing what I believe, sharing my experiences, and letting my truth resonate with the people that also share that truth, or people who are open to hearing my truth and are exploring their own. So it feels really refreshing in a way, because I think a lot of artists go through this where in the beginning you're making content. I'm going to stop saying content. You're making art for yourself, right? Like, you're just putting stuff out. You're exploring your craft. You're seeing what you like. You're seeing what feels like you. But then at the same time, you're also taking into consideration what people want to see, what people want to listen to. And then over time, it becomes all about the audience and what they want to hear. And at some point, you kind of lose track of yourself and what you want. And I think what's really beautiful about being a creative and having the ability to create any sort of art is that it is such a deeply personal journey that you're going on. And a lot of times your art reflects where you are in your life or where you have been, right? And so I think when you make your art about satisfying other people and getting the validation from other people, it becomes less personal and it becomes less important and real to you. And I remember reading this quote a couple years ago that talked about two types of artists. So there are artists who make art for the public, you know, to stir people's opinions, to spark controversy, to spark a conversation. And then there are people who make art for themselves, probably more as like a therapeutic tool and less for the public and more for their own personal satisfaction. And to be honest, I think I kind of fall in the middle when it comes to this podcast. I think on the one hand, I really love podcasting. It is probably the only space that I have in my life where I feel like I can be authentically myself and share my ideas and things just kind of flow out of me. I'm not overthinking or obsessing about what I say. And I'm not overly concerned about the perception of other people when I say the things that I do. And that's very different from myself in real life. Like, when I'm interacting with other people, like, I'm constantly thinking about how I'm being perceived or how the things I'm saying are being construed. And it can be a little bit anxiety inducing for me. So that's partially why I love podcasting so much. And then on the other hand, I do want to say something important, right? Like, I want people to tune into my podcast because they want to feel seen, safe, heard. Maybe they want a space to kind of escape their own reality. Maybe they want to listen to something that is relatable, something that is validating, or something that completely challenges their own opinions because they're curious, right? So I do want to spark conversations when it comes to the things that I create, but I do also benefit from, you know, being able to create and being able to share my quote unquote controversial ideas with my audience. I went on this whole tangent, but I say all of that to say, I really do feel like I am organically regrowing an audience that I feel like truly resonates with me in the chapter of my life that I'm in now. And I think that's really exciting. And something about that feels very validating. So yeah, that was a pretty long-winded intro. With all of that being said, feel free to like and leave a review. I'm really excited to hear your guys' thoughts specifically on this episode and today's topic because, oh my goodness, I have so many thoughts when it comes to this topic because it's been on my mind for the past year, but I didn't know how to put things into words yet. I had so many different ideas, and the way that I think, I honestly just connect all these different experiences and current events, and then I tie it back into my beliefs. And so for me, I can have an idea and it'll be just kind of like a seed of an idea, and I will kind of wait to see that idea validated or see how that idea transforms over time through just experiencing life and receiving new information. So now I feel ready and confident enough to share this with you guys and talk to you guys about this because I think it's important. So let's start with this idea of a loveless society. So a year ago, I read the book All About Love. And if you guys listen to my episode, and this is for people who have been with me for a while now, I think the episode was called Why We Fear Love and How to Love, something along those lines. I talked a lot about the book All About Love by Bell Hooks. Bell Hooks talks about this idea of a loveless society. And she says that a lot of the issues that we see in the world today, so if we're talking about politics, if we're talking about the economy, if we're talking about social issues, all of that ties back into this idea of us living in a loveless society. And so her definition of love revolves around this idea that when you truly love someone or something, you are making an active choice. You are expressing this sort of willingness to nurture the spiritual, mental, physical, personal development of another being or another thing, right? And so a lot of the attributes of love are related to community. It's related to friendship. It's related to respect. It's related to compassion. It's related to trust and honesty and genuine care. So there are all of these principles. Also, if you hear New York City in the background, I'm so sorry. But as I was saying, there are all of these principles that tie in to love, and I kind of look at it as the rules of love. And so basically her argument is that our society is void of those principles. We don't honor them. We don't truly know what love is. And because of that, these are the symptoms of a loveless society. We are seeing the downfall of our society. So what are the symptoms of a loveless society? One example would be that we currently live in a society that is run by greed and hedonism, right? We value material things more than we value human beings, more than we value the human experience of other people. A lot of us will sell our souls for money. and all the quote unquote freedoms that money brings, because a lot of us believe that money equates to happiness. And so we'll sacrifice our values and our morals if it means that we can achieve this level of success, that we can achieve some sort of status that we think will garner us the love, respect, and adoration that we're seeking. And I think that people who feel that way, and I think a lot of us, you know, at some point in our lives, especially if you grew up in not the best financial circumstances, have felt this way, and you get older and you realize that none of that really matters. A lot of us find that it's actually the opposite that's true, right? But I think that a lot of us kind of fall into this trap where we think that money equates to happiness. And so that's what I mean by our society is truly motivated by greed and hedonism, right? And this idea of hedonism, there's this feeling of we are never satisfied with what we have. There's always more to purchase, right? There's always more to eat. There's always more to wear. It's like we're never satisfied with what we have. And what that greed is, it's costing us, in my opinion, our humanity in a way, you know? And this kind of ties into the idea, and I talked about this a little bit in my last episode about God and me building a relationship with God. There was this one section of that episode where I said that a lot of us seek other things, right? We seek external things to fulfill us, right? Because a lot of us, we have a hole in our heart, right? There's this emptiness that exists within us. And I think anyone who is sort of an existentialist can relate to this, right? There's just this emptiness that exists within us. And so when you find a person that feels really validated when they buy a new pair of Louis Vuitton shoes, or you find a person that feels really fulfilled when they are in another monogamous relationship, it's because they're looking for something. They're looking for this sort of love, this all-encompassing love and fulfillment that only God can give them, right? And so I think that our society is a symptom of that, right? Like, this hedonism doesn't necessarily just stem from greed, right? It's so much deeper than that. Think about it this way. If you have ever had an unhealthy relationship with, let's say, another person, right? Say you're dating someone and they're just known for gaslighting you and love bombing you, right? When that person is giving you attention, you feel like you're on a high, right? You feel like there's nothing in this world that could go wrong as long as you have this person by your side. You feel so whole. You feel so seen. You feel so loved. You feel so full. And then when that person's attention is gone and they're ghosting you for a couple days or a week and you don't hear from them and they act like you don't exist, it literally like crashes your system, right? And so what do? You start seeking their attention more. You start acting kind of crazy, right? You start blowing up their phone, or maybe you start messaging their friends to see where they are, or you start doing these crazy things to get their attention, like maybe even flirting with one of their friends so they'll mention you so that person will hit you up. You just start doing these things that don't really make any sense because you're so desperate to feel that love and that fullness that that person gave you. So if we tie that back into this idea of hedonism, right now, people are looking for something outside of themselves to fill them up inside. For it can be different for everyone, right? For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's love, like romantic love in relationships. For some people, it's getting that dream job. It can be so many different things that we seek to fill ourselves up. And what happens is we'll never feel that fullness until we have that relationship with God, or until we let God into our hearts, honestly. Like, I normally tiptoe around this subject, but since my last episode, like, I'm done not declaring the love of God. And I think that a huge thing that bell hooks is alluding to, or at least my interpretation is, a loveless society equates to a godless society because God is love. People are hungry for answers. You're hungry for a relationship with something that makes you feel full, that makes you feel like all of this is worthwhile. This all has to be for something. But you're not going to find it here in this material world. And I think that's why we're experiencing all of this hedonism. Another symptom of a loveless society is violence, okay? We are seeing violence between men, violence against women, violence against children. You see this in all of these wars that we're a part of, right? It's like no one wants to talk anymore. No one wants to sit across from another person and hear what they have to say. Loving another person, whether it's romantic or platonic, whatever it is, just having a love and a respect for another human being is humbling yourself enough to hear another person's opinion, right? It's putting aside your ego and allowing yourself to actually immerse yourself in another person's perspective and experience so you can fully understand where they're coming from, or at least try to. We live in a society that is driven by ego and void of compassion to the experiences of other people. Everyone wants to talk, but no one wants to listen. Yet we expect to get things done. It doesn't make sense to me. And it really triggers me, I won't lie, because it's so evident in politics today, right? The nature of the discourse we're having, it is so obvious. If we're talking about the left and the right, okay? In the past, I want to say decade or so, we've reached this political climate where no one wants to listen to each other, where there's no real effective discourse because everyone is running amok with their emotions, right? When you're talking about human rights and social issues and things of that nature, yes, there needs to be an ounce of, you know, humanity and your emotions. And on the other hand, you have to look at things logically and objectively as well, because the reality is we are all our own people with our own experiences, and those experiences form our opinions. That it forms our worldview and the way we operate in this world. So yes, the reality is politics, it's always going to be difficult because there's no one size fits all. It just can't be that way. But what I will say is in the past, I want to say maybe 10, 15 years ago, politics wasn't this bad where the left and the right couldn't have a rational discourse. Today, all you're seeing are people attacking each other for their political beliefs, but not hearing the other person. And if you are someone who chooses not to take a side, or if you are someone who sees validity in both sides, you're automatically labeled as a traitor. You're ostracized. You're censored. How is that conducive to what we're trying to do here? Both sides are looking to create meaningful and impactful change that are going to help, right? The evolution of humanity. We both have the same agenda in mind. We want to make sure that our future generations are set up for success. Our future generations have freedom. They know what love is. They respect one another. I think those are kind of like the core principles that both sides stand on. But the reality is the execution of it, the way that we're approaching it on each side, it just looks so different. And so, yeah, it's always going to be hard. So many different perspectives. How can we ever come to any sort of conclusion? Well, the best way to do that is to have an open and honest dialogue and allow other people to share their experiences, because your experience isn't the only experience. And whether you agree with another person or not, they have the right to say what they believe, whether you agree with it or not. not everyone is going to be on the same page as you. Not everyone is going to have the same beliefs as you and want the best for this world. Not everyone is going to believe that all of us are equal and we all deserve love. No, there are going to be some people that are hateful. There are going to be some people that are on the part of their journey where they hate themselves and they hate the people around them. Okay? Do they still have the right to say the things that they do? Yes, they do. Why? Because every single person in this country is entitled to a freedom of speech. And we also have to understand that while that is the case, every single person must understand that freedom of speech is a privilege. And that privilege also has consequences. So as long as you're aware that, hey, if I go out here and I'm saying this hateful speech, there may be legal consequences here. I may be punched in the face. I may be attacked. Well, you knew what you were getting yourself into. So I did go on a bit of a tangent here, but what I'm saying is we want to have this type of discourse that allows us to change and evolve as a society. Yet we're not even respecting one another. Respecting another person's right to freedom of speech is everything, especially in a conversation-dominated world such as politics. Ultimately, the best way to get through to another person or a group of people or to get a point across and to have another person truly hear you is to speak to them with love. Circling back to those principles of love, respect, honesty, care, compassion, vulnerability, these are all so important. And these make up the foundation of the transformation that we want to see in the world today. Okay? And the first step here is communication. If we don't sprinkle those elements into the way that we speak to people and the way that we approach getting our message across, we are wasting our time. And we're just going to continue this nonsense dance that's not getting us anywhere. While there are people literally dying, people who need our help, and we are having conversations that are not truly impactful, conversations that are based in ego and not in reality. So when you are going into an argument or trying to prove a point, whatever it is, if you want to get a message across, you have to think about all of these different things. And why am I starting this conversation with this person? Is it because my ego is telling me that I need to be validated and I need to know that what I believe is correct? Or are you speaking to this person out of genuine love and concern for them? That's what you have to think about. When I think about, you know, in my profession, there are some conversations that are important but not worth having because it's too risky. And there are some conversations that, regardless of the risk, need to be had because it's the right thing to do. Because it's to honor a relationship. Because it's to stand on the grounds of love, the grounds of transparency, the grounds of empathy, the grounds of I respect you enough as a person to be real with you and let you know what this is. And at the same time, before I even go and tell you what I believe, I want to hear what your perspective is because we may be more aligned than I think we are. That's how you get a point across to someone. That's how you have a dialogue. It's not just you talking and throwing your beliefs at another person. It's hearing them too. It's genuinely listening. It's allowing yourself to be curious to what they have to say, curious about their beliefs and their experiences and what formed those beliefs. Because when you listen to another person, you can't help but feel compassion for them. I think when we are so distanced from other people, and I know I'm going on a tangent here, I'm going to circle back, but I think when we are so distanced from another person, it's easy for us to form ideas about them, right? And I think social media is a hotbed of this, right? We see online that, oh, this person said this, this, and this, and I feel really offended by this. You don't know that person. You don't know why they said what they said. They could have said it, yes, to be completely inflammatory and to offend you. They could be saying it because their personal experience is what formed that opinion. They could be referring to something in a completely different context than you are understanding it because you're projecting. You don't know the intention behind what that person said until you ask them, until you ask for clarity. How many times have you said something and you didn't deliver it in the way that you intended? And so in your head, you thought, this is what I mean when I say this. And the person heard it and they heard maybe your tone of voice or a specific word that you used, and they completely misinterpreted what you said. It happens. On social media, that, you know, just human fallacy is exacerbated. So let's move to a bit of a lighter topic, because I promise that this is all tying into what I'm about to share, which is, I think that this year is the year that we are bringing love back into our discourse, okay? Because at this point, we've gone too far off the deep end, and I think we've all felt it. I don't know if you guys felt it fully, but I definitely felt it. Like, towards the end of 2023, I was like, I have this really weird feeling that something is coming. And I've actually spoken with a lot of different people about this. And I think, like, one of the major things last year was the news that came out that aliens exist. Okay, so now we understand that these extraterrestrial beings are here and they're visiting our planet, and we're trying to understand what they're doing here. It opens up our ideas about spirituality. It opens up our ideas about God and what else is possibly out there. And because we have this understanding that this universe is so much bigger than we even imagined, I do think that there will be this shift eventually, that people are going to start to see that these ego-driven conversations are not valuable and they are not meaningful in the grand scheme of things. I think that people are going to move from a place of ego to a space of understanding, a space of compassion, a space of love, a space of partnership, of unity, of community, of faith and hope. And that's just what I feel. And as I entered this year, I have felt nothing but just like joy or peace, or what is the, I'm looking for this word, but it's like, I guess the word would be a knowing. Like, I just have this knowing that this year is going to be transformational for so many of us. I think so many of us are going to experience ego deaths. I think so many of us are going to begin to allow others to challenge our worldview and even be open to changing our worldview. You know, I think a lot of us are going to want to get closer to God and begin to seek a relationship with Him. And I think we really will return to love this year. And one example of this that really just blew my mind when I learned about it yesterday was, there was a man in Palestine, if I'm not mistaken, and he was a suicide bomber. Okay, so there's a certain sect of Muslims who believe that they will need to give up their natural birthright, which is life, to serve their God, because their relationship with Allah is one of servitude. And so they're taught this from very young ages. And this is a small minority of Muslims. Okay, I want to be very clear here. So this person, he was a suicide bomber and he was getting ready to bomb Israel. He was like shaving, you know, getting ready to perform the event, the duty. And he said that while he was getting ready, apparently the voice of God spoke to him. And it was Jesus. And they said to him, this is wrong what you are doing. This is evil what you are doing. Don't do it. Don't do it. And the man stopped what he was doing and ran through the streets like screaming out, you know, God is real or Jesus is real. And this man was a devout follower of Islam who grew up reading the Quran, who was taught to believe that one day you will give up your life for God. And he really believed that bombing Israel and being a part of that and giving up his life was his ultimate sacrifice for God. And that's what God would want him to do. He had this revelation with Jesus. And can we just sit and think about that for a moment? How beautiful is that? That not that he converted. What's beautiful to me is that God is love, and God said to him, this is not the way. What you are about to do, this is not the way. This is not love. Physically harming other people, harming yourself in the process to make a point, and then saying that you're doing it in the name of God. That is not God's will. That is not God's love. God said to him, don't do this. God saved him. That is love. And so I think if we can really bring love back into our discourse, it will be such a game changer for so many of us. This will be so impactful. This will really allow us to see the transformation and experience it for all that it is, the transformation that we all want to see. And obviously, this isn't something that's going to change overnight. This takes many, many people. It really does take a shift in the collective consciousness for us to get there. But guys, this year feels right. This year feels like the year that a lot of things are going to change for the better. You know, like 2020 was so transformative for so many of us, and it was really painful, and that change was undeniable. It set us back a few years, right? But it needed to happen. God was shifting things for us. He was reorganizing things for us. He was like, this is not the path forward. And now, after 2020, after this, you know, unveiling of spirituality, we learned that there are extraterrestrial beings. We have people connecting the dots and seeing that maybe aliens were kind of the beings that were discussed in the Bible, which is really interesting. There are people that think that aliens are angels sent by God, right? It's so interesting. And I say all this to say that, like, this is our year, and I think we can transform this world. And maybe it's not going to happen today. Maybe it's not fully going to happen this year. But I think the more that people get the memo, like, hey, you want to see change? Be love. Embody love. Learn what that looks like. And practice it every single day. And you will see the change you want to see. I feel it. I really do feel it. And just seeing that how all these people are being touched by God, and God is saying to them, this is not the way. And one thing that was interesting, like another quick example before I go, was apparently there were 200 men in Palestine who overnight they were getting visions and received visits from God in their dreams. And apparently this was Jesus. And they've converted to Christianity because of it. In Palestine and in other countries, like a lot of like Islam-based countries, the penalty for that is death. But a lot of the people that have converted, they are adamant. They are like, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. God is real. And they just have this feeling of peace that exists within them. They let God into their heart and they are unafraid. And I think that's something really powerful. So just tying everything together, listen, a loveless society is a godless society. And I'm not saying that every single person needs to become a Christian, because again, I believe in the freedom of speech. I believe in your freedom to believe what you want to believe in. But what I will say is that, like, listen, whatever God you believe in, like, you will find fulfillment, okay? Like, a relationship with God is really going to help our society, because when you have a relationship with God, you understand that there is so much more to this world than just you. You feel that unconditional, unwavering, fulfilling love that you've been seeking from everybody and everything else. You feel that. And then you go out in the world and you make impact, you make change. But when you are a slave to your addictions, when you're a slave to whether someone texts you back or not, and you're a slave to whatever your drug of choice is, you're taking away your own power. You're trying to feed yourself things that can't fill you. And it's keeping you at this low vibration. It's keeping you at this level that doesn't allow you to truly ascend into your full potential. I feel like the Holy Spirit just spoke through me, because I low-key blanked during that last part. But I hope that this was entertaining for you. More than that, I hope that this really made you think, because this is an important conversation, and I hope it reaches the right people. Whether it resonates, whether it triggers you, it's going to make you think. And that is really important to me. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you liked this episode and you want to hear more of my stream of consciousness audio diary, my thoughts on life and the world and society, go ahead and leave a review, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening on YouTube, thank you so much. Feel free to like, subscribe, check out my other videos. If you're listening on Spotify, on Apple, on Google, thank you so much. Please leave a review. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. I would love to hear your take, genuinely. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this reached the right people. I love you guys, and we will talk next episode. Bye.